With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of Football Theory. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by Coach Bob Shipley, former high school coach at Bernie, Capel, Rotan, Brownwood, Belton, also played college football at Abilene Christian, coached there multiple stints on the staff at the University of Texas. The man has got a lengthy resume. I can't even do it justice. But if you want to find out what he's doing these days, ShipleyRanches.com, baby. Boom. Represent.
Yeah,
get compliments all the time, Coach. Everybody want to know, where can I get some of that Shipley Ranch's gear? And I'm like, hey, I ain't got the money to buy a ranch. I just tell you that right now. I can't afford a Shipley Ranch. But, you know, man, I got good friends.
I know. We had a contest a few weeks ago. Actually, it's probably a couple of months ago on coffee and football in the morning. And we had some trivia winners that won them. And I just now got them out. And it was like, $20 a pop to mail them.
Hey,
I mean, that's why everybody wants to know about, hey, where can I get a hat? Well, I mean, I can give you one free, but it's gonna cost you $20 to ship it.
Hey, you know what, Coach? You'd be surprised how many people are willing to pay. I've got a lot of people that are like, hey, I don't care what they cost, just I want to know where I could get one. I'm like, hey, I can't help you out, but maybe sometime soon we'll let y'all know. Hey, you name your price, Coach. If they want to pay it. Hey, that's the beauty of capitalism, baby. You name your price, people will pay it if they want it bad enough. You know what I mean? They want that. Trust me, Coach. I wouldn't steer you wrong. Lots of compliments on the Shipley Ranch's hat, man.
Well, we don't sell them. I mean, we don't sell them. We just don't. It's advertising. You know, we buy them to give away for advertising. So that we don't mind giving them away, but I do mind mailing them.
So basically, Coach is saying, send him like a bunch of cash, and then he'll mail you like a hat.
Yeah, it's like it costs $20 to make the cap, and it costs another $20 to send it to you. About $40.
Hey, that's what I'm saying, Coach.
And you don't even care about buying the ranch.
Hey, that's true. That's a good point. But they are sharp, though. They're real nice hats. I'm not gonna lie, they're sharp. Let's get right into it. Let's get into some football theory here. Before we get started, first of all, we have to thank our wonderful sponsor. As always, we are blessed to have Laura Baker on the On Texas football team. Football Theory brought to you by accomplished Austin Realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle any and all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So please give her a shout today. 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. Thank you very much to Laura Baker and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams. Okay, let's get right to it. I thought today we'd just get into some of the subtle kind of nuances and conceptual signatures of Steve Sarkisian's offense. And, you know, I always call it it's a deception-based offense. In a lot of ways, like coaches built on deception. My description of Sark's offense, if I had to describe it, I would probably describe it to a football guy as he says it's an RPO based passing game. So it's a RPO based West Coast Coryell offense, because he actually wants to go vertical too, a little bit more than normal, because kind of a new age West Coast Coryell offense, because he wants to go deep a lot of the times in vertical and challenge teams. He's curtailed it, as we've talked about, because Texas isn't necessarily elite at converting those deep vertical shots, but we know that's in Sark's DNA and he wants to get back there. One thing that I also describe about Sark's offense is it's built in deception. I mean, you go look at the play-action pass rates for Sark's offense. You're hovering around 50, a little over 50%, right? Probably at 50, 51, 52% of play-action pass rate. The screen rate, the amount of screens he throws, Coach, you're about anywhere between 15 to 17% screens that he's throwing in there all the time. And then there's the RPOs on top of that, which could end up being a run, of course, but could end up being a pass. And his RPO rates are, if you ask, look at some of them, the projections are between 15 to 25% of his passing game is RPO. Now, basically, if you kind of throw all that together, you're talking about 70+% or close to 70% of Sark's offense, probably between 65 to 70. We're looking on, depending on which analytical projections and which different different platform you're looking at. That's a lot of deception in your passing game. So there's not, if you're a quarterback, I think that helps you, and it makes it a quarterback friendly offense, because there's always something built in, a built in cheat code to deceive the defense and put them in a compromising position.
Yeah. Keep them on their heels a little bit. You know, it's interesting. Even you look at it at the high school level, you have teams that their whole offense is based on, trickery almost. Not trickery, but deception. Yep. You look at Liberty Hill, for example. Liberty Hill is a team that has won several state championships. They moved up from 4A to 5A. I think played for the state championship the first year they moved up. They throw two or three passes a game, maybe. But it's all misdirection, slot T, all misdirection. Then when you add that misdirection to good athletes, now you can really push the ceiling up on what you're capable of doing. And that's exactly what I think what Sark has done. Tom Herman used some deception in what he did as well, but he didn't have the athletes. He wasn't able to bring in the athletes that Sark has been able to bring in on a consistent basis. And so now you've got Sark in there with some stuff to hide what he's doing, make the defense hesitate for just a second through some means of deception. And then you put NFL type athletes out there running the offense, then it really does make for a special offense and an offense that's going to be really hard to stop, because like you said, defense want to be aggressive. They want to be simple. They want to be aggressive. Yep. Well, now they've got to sit flat footed until they know what the play is going to be, because they don't know for sure what the play is going to be. So some of them are caught flat footed, or they're caught with their eyes in the backfield and not on the receiver, or vice versa, or whatever. And so, his offense is, and it continually keeps redefining itself. It continually keeps evolving,
Yes, it does.
As long as it can fit in his offensive scheme, he'll continue to add nuances every year, and it will continue to evolve to try to stay ahead of the defense.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Sark's philosophy, right? And even his ideology. He's talked about it every year. He seeks to steal concepts from the best offensive minds at the NFL level, the ones that he admires, the ones that inspire him. That he keeps adding. I look at his offense like it's a living, breathing creature. I mean, it can be terrifying if you're a defensive coordinator. That thing can look like the Kraken at times. Like it's, but he doesn't feed it that often. But when he feeds it, he feeds it something really good. Like he's recently, the two back sets, the pony package, that was something he's now starting to feed it. When he brought in Brandon Marion and the go-go offense, that means he's starting to feed it something new, something fresh, something it hadn't had before. The 6-0 line package, right? That was new. It's like, I'm going to give it something different. He's feeding that beast a little bit, something extra. I think this year you're going to get that 10 personnel package, 4 wide receivers. I think he's going to feed that beast something new. So you're right. To make sure that he's continuing to evolve and modernize that monster of an offense that he has, he always gives it something new, something fresh, some new meat. All right, some new meat. And I think he does that because like you said, as long as it fits within his offense, and there's not really a lot that can't fit within Sark's offense because of how inventive he is. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting when you start looking at the overall passing game and even just the overall offense period, right? I always describe Sark's offense, it's an amalgamation. It's a gumbo of cheat codes and different force multipliers designed to overload the central nervous system and circuitry of the defense. He's going to give you too much to way more to process than you can in a short amount of time, right? There's going to be pre-snap motions and shifts. There's going to be misdirection. As I just pointed out, a lot of play action pass or RPO deception in the passing game, or there could be screens thrown in there. There's condensed formations and compressed sets. He throws that out there too to make it tougher in terms of alignment with the defense. There's always multiple cheat codes and things that are going to essentially make life difficult on the defense. And he's constantly doing that. Every play, there are multiple cheat codes embedded within the offense of play, not just one trying to throw you off. Most offenses got one cheat code they're trying to use, misdirection or some pre-snap motion or using one play action pass and get the right. No, Sark's got multiple that always, in terms of that's why he can get scheme guys open, that always kind of overload the defense and give them way too much to process in a short amount of time.
Yeah, that's a great analysis of where we're at as an offense. And it's fun because, you know, remember, for whatever reason, Greg Davis wanted to keep this little speed option play in. Remember, that's a play Colt got hurt on the national championship game. Why? Why? Just throw a swing pass. Or what? I mean, you know, why? And, you know, just the those little things would drive me nuts. I mean, I'm just like, there's got to be some other way to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish rather than putting our quarterback one-on-one with a guy that's unblocked. I mean, it just never made any sense to me. So I'm really glad that Sark understands that he's got to protect his quarterbacks, but that if something is dangerous, something's not working, he's not a knucklehead. He's going to come up with some new way to try to attack what he's doing that gives his kids the best chance to be successful, but also limit how they expose themselves physically to, you know, not to get beat up.
Yep. I went and looked at not only some of the rates of play action pass, RPOs, and screens for Texas. I want to look at Quinn Ewers' production on these concepts with play action, without play action. This is via Pro Football Focus. So his completion percentage with play action, 75%. Without play action, it drops down to 61%. If you go look at his yards per attempt on play action passes, you're at 10 yards per attempt without play action, drops down to 7.4%. And on the season, he's at 8.8 yards per attempt overall, but much more effective with play action pass than without it. And if you go look at him overall in completion percentage, he was really good this year, 68%. But once again, much more effective with play action. By the way, that's all quarterbacks. That's going to be every quarterback. He's got 16 touchdowns, 3 interceptions with play action, 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions without play action. By the way, like I said, this is across the board, every level, every quarterback. That's why it's a guaranteed no-brainer cheat code. And Sark, he decides, you know what, I am going to be extreme with it. I'm going to be gratuitous with his usage of play action pass. That's why half of his damn passing game is play action pass. And then you got another, I don't know, 10 to 15% of it is going to be RPO based passing. And another 10% of it is going to be screens passes, or 15% going to be screen passes. That is intentional. So it makes life easy on this quarterback. When you go look at Quinn Ewers' Pro Football Focus grade on non play action passes, it's 83rd in the country, but he's eighth in play action pass Pro Football Focus grade. So there is a big difference, and scouts probably want to see Quinn get a more effective and just kind of straight dropbacks. But Sark's system, you don't have to do that. You can still be really successful because of, like I said, all the deception that's kind of embedded within the offense naturally. But yeah, you got very different results for Quinn Ewers. And this year, as long as you stay away from third and long, you really don't have to have many straight dropback situations. I mean, that's why you want to stay away from third and long. Third and long, everybody knows what you're doing. There's no point in even trying to deceive the defense by going play action. And play action works regardless of whether your running game is working or not. The stats say that. It still works because defense, I ain't going to say that we're dim-witted, but we fall for it every time. All right, the linebackers, they always fall for a little fake coach. I remember so many meetings where the defense coordinator said, y'all got to get deeper in your drops, linebackers. You got to get deeper in your drops. During the games, we're yelling at them the same thing. They always fall for the play fake every time. I'm not mad at them. That's the world they live in. But that's why Sark does it so much, because 60% of the time, it works every time.
Yeah, that's over. Right, Yo, Kara. I got you. That's true. That's very true. But then you throw in his other little nuances, like the pony package, and then like the six lineman package, and it just creates another problem for defenses to have to prepare for, and the six offensive line package, I think, is I don't know that we'll see it as much this year with the receivers that we have, but I mean, you never know. But when you do see it, now the defensive coordinator has got to look at everything you can possibly do out of a six offensive line package, you know, and they got to work on that. It changes responsibilities defensively, especially in pass coverage, maybe even force, who's forcing the run and so forth. So it's just fun to watch him pull these little things out, and it drives defensive coordinators nuts because they've got to prepare for everything. We would do that sometimes, just run a crazy formation and one play out of it, just so the defense will think we may have a whole series off of this. And they got to try to get prepared for everything that could possibly come off of this.
That's a great way, because that's something I also want to get into in football theory. I want to do a little deep dive about that. Some of the conceptual signatures, but also some of the exotics from Steve Sarkisian now. And that 6 O-line package is one of them. You know, along with some other things that he's bringing to the Red Cat, which was the Roge Cat at one point, is some of those exotic things he's bringing to the table. He's feeding that beast. But the play-action pass rate, just got to kind of put a bow on that discussion, out of that 6-0 line package, Coach, last time I was tracking it, the play-action pass rate on those 6-0 line package pass plays, I believe you were close to 75%. I believe that's when you're around 75% play action pass rate, because you got an extra blocker in there. And I think Sark wanted to go deep, the vertical shots, as he had an extra layer of pass protection when he had that 6th offensive lineman in there. So last time I tracked it, he's at 50% play action pass rate. Usually that number skyrockets when you bring in that 6th offensive lineman. And I believe close to 75% of the passes from that 6th offensive line package were on first down. We know Sark liked to throw it deep on first down anyway. So think about his deception was, I'm bringing in a heavy package. Defense is going to be thinking run with this extra offensive lineman in here. I'm going to go play action, pop over the top of them. Now, how often it worked? Didn't work as often as Sark would have liked, but that was the thought process. Present power personnel packages, pivot to play action pass principles. And it's kind of put a bow on things. That 6th offensive line package, which maybe we'll get into next week, Coach, big part of Sark's play action pass deception, because he wants you to think run, and then he wants to take you over the top. All right, let's thank our sponsor, Laura Baker, one more time. We really appreciate her support, Laura Baker and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams Realty. Football Theory brought to you by Laura Baker and the accomplished Austin team there at Andy Allen team at Keller Williams. They can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. So please give her a shout today. 512-784-0505. That's 512-784-0505. Thank you very much to Laura Baker. All right, Coach. Thank you, Coach, for all of your expertise and knowledge and wisdom. I appreciate it as always. And until next time, for Laura Baker, for the On Texas Football family, thanks, my man Matthew, behind the scenes as always. For Coach Bob Shipley and myself, Hook 'em Horns.